I have two scripture passages this morning. One is from Ephesians chapter 4. The other is from 1 Peter chapter 4. We're going to start in Ephesians, but you might want to go ahead and find your place in 1 Peter chapter 4 so that when we get there, it won't take very long to find it. This is what is sometimes called the giving season. People who are good at coming up with great gift ideas usually put a lot of thought into what somebody might like to receive or what kind of gift they might need. And if you can come up with a gift for the people on your list that is something that will bring them joy and be practical at the same time, then it's like you've hit a home run in gift giving, right? And so a lot of people are thinking in those ways during the weeks heading up to Christmas Day. And, it's great to have something that's practical. It's great to have something that meets a need. But you got to be careful that you don't get too practical sometimes, right? You know, if the parents are just thinking in terms of what the children need, and all that lands under the tree is a pair of new underwear or a package of new underwear, you know, that doesn't bring a lot of joy, right? It may be very, very practical, but it's not going to bring a lot of joy. But if you can come up with something that's going to bless emotionally as well as meet a need, then that's great. So I was thinking about that, and we've been on the topic of spiritual gifts for several weeks now, really. At least 2 months that we've been talking about spiritual gifts in some way or other. And so I just kind of let my imagination work with me a little bit, and I wondered if there was ever a time when the Heavenly Father and Jesus and the Holy Spirit got together for a kind of a brainstorming session about spiritual gifts, the way parents sometimes brainstorm about what they might give for their children or other people in the family. And so I doubt that they had to really kick this around too much. When you have infinite wisdom, you just know what is needed, right? But then maybe there was a conversation around the throne at some point in eternity past where one of the members of the Trinity said, what if we give them a gift of miracles? That would be awesome. That's gonna be exciting. It's going to be a blessing. And it's going to meet great needs in the life of the church. And another one might jump in and say, yeah, let's do the gift of miracles. And what if we give them the gift of tongues so that they have this heavenly language that they can communicate with us and not be limited to the expression of their natural human language? And one would say, yeah, that's a great idea. That's going to bring a lot of joy, and that's going to be very practical. It's going to meet needs. And another one might say, well, what about the gift of prophecy to hear the voice of God and to convey that to others to meet needs? And so they just go through this list, the gift of teaching and the gift of being an apostle and the gift of interpreting tongues and all these things that we read about in the scripture passages that describe the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And whether a heavenly brainstorming session like that ever occurred, or whether God in His infinite wisdom just knew what we needed, it's important for us to understand that Jesus knows how to give just the right gifts. Amen? Do you agree with that? And so when we remind ourselves that Jesus knows how to give just the right gift, it can instill some confidence in us as we seek to put our gifts into practice. One thing we know for sure, one thing that's clear, when we read what the Bible says about spiritual gifts is that God designed spiritual gifts to be practical for the church. but also to bring us joy as we receive from Him and use what He's given us. There's joy in that. And I think that's important to keep in mind as we think about spiritual gifts, because I get the sense that there's something about the topic of spiritual gifts that makes people feel a little bit intimidated, makes us feel insecure, like, I don't know if I'm really able, if I'm really in touch with the Lord enough. And I think that kind of inner reluctance to move with confidence in this realm of spiritual gifting, that's not from the Lord, is it? That kind of inner tension that we feel, that's not from the Lord. And if it's not from the Lord, then the source of that must be from the enemy, right? And so we don't want to give in to something just because it's something that may make us feel a little bit of tension, a little bit of discomfort. We want to embrace with joy what God has made available to us. Let's read. We've been in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 for a long time. Let's read what Paul has to say about the spiritual gifts in Ephesians chapter 4. It was he, verse 11, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists. Evangelists, people who are gifted at sharing the gospel in such a way that people, that others, that lost people, hear it and respond with faith in Jesus Christ. Some to be pastors and teachers. Verse 12, and he did this, he gave these gifts to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure, of the fullness of Christ. Notice that first line in verse 11, it was he who gave? Who is the he? Who's the he behind that pronoun? It's got to be the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? Because that's where the gifts come from. They come from God. But we have to look back up the page to verse 7, where Paul wrote, but to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. Grace was given as Christ, as Jesus apportioned it. So the he refers to Jesus, refers to Christ who gave grace to each one. Now, if you just read verse 7 in isolation, you might think that Paul's referring to the grace that comes for salvation. We need the grace of God to step out of darkness into light, right? That's true, but as you continue to read the verses that follow and you get down in 11 and 12 and 13, you see that what Paul had in mind as he was writing about the grace that Jesus gave, it was the grace for gifts, gifts that strengthen the church. The grace gifts are what's on his mind. So the word grace in the Greek is the word charis. Okay, look at that on the board. Charis. Grace gifts is the word charismata. You see charis on the front and the suffix mata, grace gifts, charismata. You ever wonder where do we get the word charismatic? It comes from the term grace gifts, which in Greek is charismata. And he uses that word a lot in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14 as he talks about spiritual gifts. There's another term that he uses that literally means spiritual gifts. It has the word for the spirit or the breath, pneuma, in it. And so he describes it using different terms, but this is one of the common terms, the grace gifts. And so when he writes that grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. He's talking about the grace gifts and the fact that Jesus knows just what to give to each person. And with all the time that we've spent over the past couple of months looking at the gifts of tongues and prophecy, I have to admit, we have to admit together, it's a big step for most people to go from learning more about spiritual gifts to gaining more information, more knowledge about spiritual gifts, and to take that step from knowledge into practice. And it's one of the great challenges of being a pastor. It's one thing to teach and to provide information for church members who show up to listen to a sermon. It's quite a different thing to be able to lead from information to actually doing, to putting those things into practice in our lives and in the church. But I want you to keep this in mind. Spiritual gifts, don't try not to let the term be intimidating for you, because spiritual gifts are just ministry. Just ministry in various forms. Now, when you say it's just ministry, you can't stop there. You have to go on and say, yes, it is just ministry, but it's ministry that goes beyond the limits of our natural abilities so that we embrace the power and the enabling of the Holy Spirit to do these things. You can do a lot of ministry with your natural abilities, just your willingness to show up, to help somebody, to somebody that's hurting, you know, to put your arms around them, to encourage them, to comfort them in their pain, to pray for them, to go and do something that will make their circumstances easier, whether it's providing food when they have a crisis in their life, and that's a very important type of ministry. The scriptures talk about being hospitable and typically, you know, meeting those practical kind of needs in a hospitality kind of way falls under that umbrella of just having the type of hospitality ministry so people can focus on the crisis that they're in the middle of at that time. Those kinds of things matter, but a lot of that can be done with natural resources of our natural man, the natural woman. But God has provided these gifts and Jesus has apportioned them in the body of Christ in such a way that He intends for Him to do the work through us, through His power, through His enabling. And I really think that that's what a lot of people, that's why a lot of people feel uncertain. They feel a little bit of intimidation about it because they're not sure that they're in a good enough spiritual position to be that vessel for the Lord to flow through. It's not that they don't want to. It's not that they're unwilling. It's just that they're not sure. They're not confident about how to move from doing things in the natural to doing things in the spiritual. Is anybody with me? It doesn't have to be that way. I think, as I said a moment ago, most of that intimidation comes from the enemy. You are a spiritual being. If you are in Christ, you are not just a natural being. You are a spiritual being. And so just offering yourself to Him for Him to work through you, it relieves the pressure of expectations that you may put on yourself to display some great spiritual power. I'm going to share some thoughts with you from these passages. I'm going to keep it brief. And then at the end of the message, we're going to take some time just to pray together, to try to minister to one another and to try to practice some of the things that we're learning. Look at verse 12. We started in verse 11. Look at verse 12. It says that the gifts prepare God's people to do work, to do service, with the result that the body is built up, with the goal of having more unity in the faith. Unity in the faith, that's something that we've seen scripture after scripture after scripture from the book of Acts and from these passages that we've looked at with the spiritual gifts. You remember how I spent weeks and weeks way back in August and September preaching about being in one accord and how when God's people are in one accord with Him, it's like a spiritual magnet for the Holy Spirit to come and to flow and to move and to work through us in mighty ways. It releases something in the spirit realm when God's people are unified or in one accord around the things of the Spirit. And so right here in this scripture passage and in all the others that we read about the spiritual gifts, we see this theme of unity, of being in one accord, and of building up our knowledge of Jesus and our maturity. And look at that last phrase in verse 13, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Is your Bible open on your lap? I can look around the room and see Bibles open around the room. Let your eyes rest on that last portion of verse 13 for a moment. Attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. What believer doesn't have that as part of their Christian desire? I think a lot of us have convinced ourselves that that's something that's out of reach for the ordinary Christian. That's something for super saints. That's something for pastors. That's something for missionaries. That's something for special people. But that's not what God says. God says that through the working of the gifts in the body of Christ, He builds us up in a unified way, and we begin to mature, and we attain something that on the surface may appear to be unattainable. We're able to attain to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And it just makes me want to say, wow, wow, that God would make that available to us, everyone. And these are consistent themes in all the New Testament passages about spiritual gifts, that they need to be operating in love, that there needs to be unity, that there needs to be maturity, and that they're designed for the strengthening of the church. And whether you read about that in the book of Romans, chapter 12, book of Ephesians, chapter 4, the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 12, 13, 14, wherever you look, even in 1 Peter, chapter 4, where we are about to go, you see these themes of love, unity, maturity, and strengthening of the church through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I want that. I want those things to prevail. I want those things to flow forth, to gush forth from the body of Christ called Pursuit Church, love and unity and maturity and strengthening. 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 7 begins with, "The end of all things is near. Therefore be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins." I might have to come back and preach about that verse 8 one day. But just to remind us all, don't we all need that kind of love in our life? Don't you need people to love you in such a way that it covers the multitude of sins that you may commit or that I may commit? I need people to love me that way, and you need people to love you that way. And that's the kind of love that God has made available to us in the body of Christ. Look at verse 9. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Verse 10. Each one, here's where you really need to listen carefully. Verse 10. Each one, that includes you, it's not just the preacher. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace. There's that word again. Administering God's grace in its various forms. And then he throws out a couple of examples. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. So that might be speaking a word of prophecy. It might be speaking a word of tongues. Might be speaking a word of knowledge or wisdom or whatever. But as if anybody's going to speak, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do that with the strength God provides, not just human natural strength, but with the strength of God, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Use your gifts to serve others. And when we do it in the way that God has designed, they're both practical and joyful. Not with grumbling, but with the joy that God gives in knowing that you've made a difference in somebody's life, and it wasn't just from your efforts, but it was from the provision of God flowing through you. It's an interesting phrase where it says, administering God's grace. I'm not crazy about the administering word. I'm not crazy about the word, the English word that the translators used for that Greek word there. I think transmitting God's grace, letting the grace of God flow through you to somebody else is maybe a better way of understanding that. Whether it's the words of God, the power, the strength of God, it all works for the praise of God. And everyone, I'm going to go out on a limb, and even though I haven't polled the people in the room, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that I think probably another reason most people feel intimidated about the spiritual gifts is you don't have any clue what yours is. You'd be willing to use it if you knew. You know what? That's okay. You're in good company. There are a lot of really great Christians who are not clear about what their gift may be. Don't let that trouble you. There also may be a little bit of confusion because sometimes when I'm preaching, you've heard me say things like, God can do this through anybody at any time. And you may wonder, okay, well, you know, we read things, it makes it sound like God has given a gift or gifts to people. But then sometimes a preacher makes it sound like anybody can do any of it. Well, there is a bit of a balance there, and let me try to explain it. The Bible does say that God gives gifts to people. So every follower of Jesus Christ has at least one, maybe more, but at least one gift of the Holy Spirit that God has melded together into you. And it's Him. And it probably meshes with some of the natural strengths that He created you to have. But it makes it possible for you to minister consistently to meet needs in the body of Christ and sometimes outside the body of Christ in this particular way of gifting. There's a gift, but then there's also, besides the gift, there's a manifestation. And here's the difference I'd like for you to see. The gifting is something that's ongoing, and that once you find your spiritual niche in serving the Lord in the area of gifting, then you may do that consistently throughout the years of your life. But then, anytime the presence of the Holy Spirit begins to move upon you, begins to move in a worship service, begins to move in a conversation that you're having with somebody, miles away from church, doesn't matter what the setting may be, but when the Holy Spirit begins to move, a manifestation can come through you, and He can do anything through you to meet any need at any time. In other words, you may know what your gift is and feel comfortable serving the Lord in that compartment, in that spiritual compartment. But that doesn't mean that anything else is off limits for you. There may be a need that needs to be met in somebody's life, and the person with that gifting is nowhere around. But that doesn't stop the Holy Spirit from flowing through you, from manifesting Himself through you to meet the need of the moment in that person's life. Nothing's off limits for Him. Nothing's off limits for you. Am I connecting with anybody here? To find your gift, just start ministering. You don't have to take a survey. You don't have to do a personality inventory to find your spiritual gift. Just start ministering. Your gift will find you as the Holy Spirit works through you. And then as we move and live and breathe in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, the manifestation will find you at the moment that it is needed. So it's not a big mysterious thing, and it's not a big complicated thing. And I pray, oh God, I pray that it's not a big intimidating thing for people in the body of Christ, that we just embrace it as our new spiritual nature, not our natural man, but the new spiritual nature that Jesus brings into us when He regenerates us and when He fills us with His Holy Spirit. I've been trying to get you to think bigger in recent weeks, to think differently about church, to think in terms not only of what church may do for you, but what you may do for church, not only what worship may accomplish in you, but what you may accomplish for the body of Christ in worship. I know sometimes we have a room full of people, and sometimes we have a lot of empty chairs. And that's just kind of normal, natural, I guess, the way life unfolds and things come up. But I think most of the time when people are having this conversation in their head about, am I going to make it to church this Sunday? Am I going to make it to church today? Sometimes you know days ahead of time that this thing is planned on the weekend and you're not going to get there. And sometimes it's just when you get up Sunday morning, there's this debate. Am I going to be able to get to church today? I don't feel great, or this is going on, that's going on, didn't expect whatever to happen. I think the normal question to ask is, what am I going to miss if I don't make it to church today? What will I miss if I'm not at church today? That's the normal question to ask. But if we could start to ask a different question, what will my church miss if I'm not at church today? What will my brothers and sisters in Christ miss if I'm not present today? If you begin to see yourself not just as an attender, not just as a participant, not just as a member, but as a minister, which is the way the Word of God sees you, then your thought process is going to be different as you approach the things of God and interaction with the body of Christ. I want us to spend some time praying for one another this morning. And I want to keep from just throwing the gate open wide and taking in all the needs that anybody may be aware of today. I want to try to give some guidance to the way that you pray. And so the first thing that I want you to pray for is needs in your group. We're going to get into some groups here in just a minute. I'll give you some guidance with that. And I want you to share with one another what needs are on your heart. Maybe something that you're concerned about for somebody else. Maybe something going on in your life, in your family. but take some time to share that with the others in your group. And also to every group, please come up with somebody that's lost, dead in sin, that you can pray for by name. Just share it with the people in your group. And I'm going to leave this up on the screen as you pray, so if you don't have to remember all that, you can just glance up and let that remind you. But also in your prayer time, pray for one another, that God would help you to move and to minister and to speak in the spiritual gifts, that our church body would begin to grow and be strengthened in this area. And there may be an opportunity for you to even minister in a spiritual gift kind of way as you pray together. When you give somebody a present for Christmas, it's a lot of fun to think of what they may want, what may bring them joy, what they may need to make the purchase or to create it if you make it with your own hands, to do the gifting, the actual giving of the gift. There's a lot of elements of that that make the giving season satisfying. But then if you give a gift and the person never does anything with it, maybe they don't unwrap it, or maybe they unwrap it and they set it aside and they treat it as if it's nothing. You know, maybe they said thank you and they received it, but then once it's in their possession, it's nothing to them. That's kind of disappointing, isn't it? But I can't help but think that that's the way that a lot of us do with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. God, through Jesus, has given us these gifts in the body of Christ. And we agree with what the Bible says about them, you know, so we receive it mentally. But then we just act like, okay, well, let's go on and do things the normal way. Let's don't get too carried away. Because that makes people feel weird if you get carried away, right? Who wants to feel weird about church? You know what? I'm willing to feel weird about church if it'll open up new avenues of knowing God in all the fullness. If it'll open up new avenues of strengthening and maturing us. If it will take us to a deeper place, a stronger place, a more loving place in the body of Christ, I'm willing to feel a little weird about some things that I'm not used to if it'll take me to a better place. And I hope that there are others in the room who have that same willingness. So what I'd like for us to do the next few minutes is to divide ourselves up. I'm not going to assign you this or that or whatever, but to divide ourselves up into groups of 4, 5 people, maybe. We don't really need a huge group of 10 or 12 people together all at one time. But to be willing to come together and to share with one another the burdens that we may feel, the concerns that we have for lost people in our lives, and to encourage one another as we seek the Lord for the spiritual gifting that He's made available in our church. You might want to turn to the people who are sitting near you. You might need to go across the room to get in the right group. But to just take a few minutes, maybe to sit down, to turn the chairs, to share a little bit before you pray, to talk through these things, and then to spend some time in prayer. I don't know how long it's going to take. Doesn't have to be a big, long, drawn-out time. And we won't all finish at the same time. If your group finishes while others are still praying, just sit there quietly and worship the Lord and seek the Lord personally and see what He may want to do to minister to people in our body. Now, we're going to start some music, let it play quietly, and give you the chance to get yourself in a group of 4 or 5 people right now.